it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome in third hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game Nashville app. Adam Bingen in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic running things behind the glass, and very happy as we do every Friday to welcome in TD, Teron Davenport, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. TD, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Not much, getting geared up for a big one. But you know what, TD, I did want to, before we get into Titans-Colts, I mean, the story of today is going to be the Tua situation, the injury Sunday, said to be a back injury. Last night, terrifying scene, seems to be okay. But just your quick thoughts on that and on maybe the process needing to be looked at again.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because for talking with TD, we have a segment called Blow the Whistle, and every week we call something out. And that actually was what I called out, the way that process was handled with Tua on Sunday. So you're 100% right, man. They have to do something to be even safer, right, and push erring on the side of caution, because you saw what happened last night, and, you know, this man was tackled to the ground, the back of the head hit the ground, and the way that his hands were stuck, it made me sick. Things that we have to prevent, because this man's health was put into jeopardy. I don't know how they're going to do it, because in this case, it was supposed to be a neutral doctor that, you know, was handling the in-game concussion protocol. How he got back onto the field is beyond me. I don't know.
Yeah, and there's going to be some fallout here, some ramifications, and there should be. Titans-Colts, TD, what about this matchup? There's one thing that you are, you know, we talked about like Saffold, Simmons, which didn't really materialize a lot in Buffalo, but one matchup in this game that especially intrigues you, what would it be?
Well, Jeffrey Simmons is front and center once again. I think when you look at that matchup of Simmons and Quentin Nelson, I mean, that is, as Simmons told me, a heavyweight matchup. And you're getting two young players in their prime that are just really good at their position. So that's the one for me.
Teron, we were just talking about Todd Downing, and we were playing a clip of your question to Todd about, you know, the criticism that he has received from the fan base for some of the Titans' offensive issues. I would love your expert opinion. When you look at the job that Todd Downing has done in terms of play calling and understanding certain situations, is there something that you see that you think that Todd Downing genuinely deserves criticism for in terms of how he is calling the plays for the Titans?
Well, that's a tough question. I don't like the personnel grouping that they use. In some cases, I think it's like getting too cute. I think if there's one thing that they could do well that he probably deserves some criticism on is identifying what it is that works, what it is that you want to be your trademark, and just pushing that. And I think that's something that they have to do. And it is running the football, but you got to play off of it also. And I just think, you know, sticking to your identity of being a physical team, I think that's something that they could do better. I don't know if it's one of those things where they're trying to manage Derrick Henry's carries and touches, or if they're just allowing other teams to dictate to them that, hey, you're not going to run the football right now. But I think really that's the main thing. Say, hey, look, this is what we do. We're going to do it, and you can't stop it.
What about the 57-7 deficit, you know, being outscored 57-7 in three games in the second half? We're not used to seeing that, TD. And those games, actually three different situations in three games, but how much would you put that on him, and how important is it that that quickly turns around?
Well, you know, one thing that they did in this past game, and I mentioned this on Stillman's show on the TV Power Hour yesterday, but I said the wrong thing, and I apologize for that. I said that they scored a touchdown on their first drive of the second half, which was grossly incorrect because we know they scored 0 points against the Raiders in the second half. However, they didn't go three and out. And that's critical because you can't come out of halftime flat. And if you notice, the first two games, they went three and out, and then the other team scored a touchdown. This game, they get a first down at least. They have somewhat of a drive and then held the other team, held the Raiders without scoring. But the big thing is just that sustaining drives, and that's what Todd Downing touched on when I asked him yesterday about some of the second half woes, and he pointed to a couple of the plays on fourth down where they didn't convert. And I think when that's happening, it makes it a little bit tougher to, you know, like layer plays and come back to things that you saw earlier. And it, in my opinion, it comes down to execution, you know, and I don't think that's happening as well in the second half.
Talking to Tron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. TD, the Colts, of course, big step forward. I mean, a huge win against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
In your assessment, how much of that was a step forward for the Colts defense as compared with just an off day for the Chiefs?
I think it was a combination of the two because let's not forget Jason Kelce. I always say Jason Kelce from my Eagles connection. Travis Kelce, he dropped a pass in the end zone. You know, and that's 7 points right there. That's just kind of flushed down the toilet. But at the same time, the Colts, their run defense continues to be outstanding. Their pass defense has done a really, you know, a solid job with Gilmore. He's helped them a lot. And I think it was a combination of the two. But I'll say this, it is very difficult to run the football against the Colts. And that's even without Shaquille Leonard.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you next is it looks right now, and we'll see today, but DeForest Buckner, elbow, has not practiced this week. Shaq Leonard, he looks like, you know, like he may, I know he practiced last week and didn't play, but it seems to me like it's trending toward him possibly playing. So what's the trade-off there? Because we know DeForest Buckner, on the field or not, there's a definite correlation with Titans running success, right, in the last couple of years, but also that Leonard's a heck of a player. What's the trade-off? If you were the Titans and you could pick one of them to play in a game in terms of being able to run the football, who are you picking?
That's a good question. I think Shaq Leonard is the one that I would rather face than DeForest Buckner. And the reason being is Zaire Franklin has done an excellent job in this place. And that's not to say that he's a better, you know, just as good of a player as Shaquille Leonard, who I don't know if you saw the Josina Anderson, her show, The Crew. Brian Urlacher actually said that Shaq Leonard is the guy that reminds him most of himself. So We're talking about a guy who's a really good player. But I just think when you look at DeForest Buckner up front and in what the Titans have to prevent happening, he's a bigger part of it. And when I say what they have to prevent, here's a stat for you. Derrick Henry has 54 carries so far this year. He's been hit at or behind the line of scrimmage 27 times. Mm. When he doesn't get hit at or behind the line of scrimmage, he's averaging 6.6 yards. So it's pretty simple what you have to do. You have to get Derrick Henry momentum going to the line. And when you have a D lineman like DeForest Buckner, who is so good with the arm over or just, you know, any of his moves, getting in the backfield and making a guy like Henry have to redirect, that allows the others to rally to the football. So for that reason, I think Buckner is bigger in the rush defense than Shaq Leonard.
Teron, I feel like I should have known this just by watching the Titans, but when Joe and I were looking this up earlier, it did kind of shock me that through 3 weeks, the Titans yet to have a wide receiver catch a touchdown. Yet two receiving touchdowns from Dontrell Hilliard, excuse me, and one from Jeff Swaim. What more can the Titans wide receiver corps do to make themselves more dangerous down the field and finally get that first touchdown for that group?
Yeah, you know, Treylon Burks came oh so close. Derrick Henry got to clean up and get the 1 yard touchdown. But I think really it just comes down to they have to incorporate more plays, right? And I think when you look at fades in the end zone, you know, that's something. Contested combat catches, you know, give Treylon Burks an opportunity. You know what I mean? You're going to see one-on-one covers on the outside. Throw it up there. Let him go get it. I think that's something that could happen. Moving guys around, there's different scheme things that they could do, motion, and have the guy released to the flat. That's something that, you know, Ty Downing has to figure out ways to get these guys open. Bunch formation. Switch releases, right, and get these guys free quickly for quick catches. Those are all things. But this team has traditionally, you know, outside of A.J. Brown, gone to the tight ends and to the backs in the red zone. So it's just a kind of a continuation of what we saw before.
NWI going back home. I'm just saying, last year that worked out well for him. So watch out for that, too. Teron Davenport, TD, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. TD, really appreciate it, my friend. And I guess we'll see you out there today and in Indy.
Yes, sir. See you guys soon.
That's TD, Teron Davenport. And we come back, we're going to react a little bit to what Teron said and get into actually another aspect of Josina Anderson's show, a former Titans receiver, and more, I guess, more breakup talk. On Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hello, folks. Preds Game Day brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today to get rewarded with Social Cash Back. Buy $1,000 of stuff, get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. Also, join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tonight for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. These guys crank all night on high school football. They'll preview the big games, then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode. Adam Vingan in for Robbie today. Michelle Knezovic, Joe Rexrode here. Just talked to TD Teron Davenport, and actually we have a caller now on the guest line, Nate. Nate, how you doing?
What's up, guys? Adam, it's great to hear your voice again.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
So last night after the Tua hit, my wife, who given she's a pulmonary nurse, but she's still a nurse, she started researching basically what happened on Sunday. And there was a doctor that put an article out, like y'all said, in the 6 o'clock hour, that Tua had TBI, a traumatic brain injury. And we, I guess, have been trained by the NFL to think of a traumatic brain injury only as a concussion. Well, you can have another traumatic brain injury with your spine. If your spine basically gets lodged up into your head, because, you know, your spine goes from the back of your head to the bottom of your butt, and if you get hit right, it'll push the spine up into your head and give you TBI. I think they need to, I don't know how, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse. They need to start testing for all TBI, not just concussions.
Well, thanks for the call, Nate. That's a good point. There's a lot. I mean, if you want to go down the rabbit hole of concussion, CTE, all this stuff, I mean, it's scary, and there's a lot there, and someone on the text line, driven by WillScottHand.com, mentioned, you know, everybody should follow at Chris Nowinski 1. That's Nowinski 1. He's been at the forefront of CTE research and also of criticizing the NFL for how they handle things. You know, it's, look, we all saw what happened Sunday, and I believe, I mean, it looked to me like a head injury, right? Now, that doesn't mean that we know for sure. I mean, you know, Mike McDaniel and people, they're adamant that, you know, all their information said no. But I'd like to get more information on all that went down with that. And again, I mean, it's a good point, Nate. There's different kinds of head injuries. And, you know, look, someday what I hope is with all this research, which is very important, what we'll get to is, like, we'll get to some people are more susceptible than others. That some people should never play football, you know, or hockey or some of these sports where you have these high collisions. And that's where I hope we can get to someday is actually having the ability to diagnose susceptibility. But in the meantime, this is going to be the story of the day in sports, and I think it's absolutely time for a reexamination of everything done in this regard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question about it, and you know, the fallout from this is going to be really interesting. But it's always, you know, there are always these moments in sports, and I obviously can't think of one off the top of my head, so shame on me. But there are moments in sports where you think this is going to be a watershed moment where something's going to change, and then it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, but look, well, you're right, and I have no idea if there's going to be some massive makeover in the process. I mean, I just think the taking the player out of the equation is. And I know some people will be like, how the heck are you going to do that? That's the patient. That's the person in question. But the mindset and the way that players, too many players think about this can be problematic. It can be counterproductive. It's just, and can be dangerous. So,
well, it's also a head injury. How can you be sure they're even in the right headspace
right.
to make a decision?
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's the thing, though. You're going through the testing, and so they know you're going through the testing, so they prepare so that the testing can still allow them to come back on the field. I mean, it's a problem. On the Titans-Colts front, good stuff from TD there, and he actually mentioned briefly. Well, we've talked some today about Philadelphia Eagles receivers. So A.J. Brown has sort of re-entered the chat when it comes to the Titans. it seems like we can't go too long without that. He was on with Josina Anderson's show, and so I guess what she asked him about playing for Vrabel. So this is what A.J. Brown said about playing for Mike Vrabel.
You know, Vrabel, I got a lot of respect for him, but, you know, he's the better check weight. You know, everything is lock in. You know, no fun over there. You know, you're going to get the job done. And but over here, he just letting us have fun, do what we do, you know, let us express our personality. And I think that's huge. You know, you want somebody to express themselves and be themselves. So the real them can show on the game, on the football field. So
is he in a cave?
Yeah.
Where is he doing this interview from?
I saw the video and I think he was like on the subway or something. It kind of looked like he was like on a train or something.
The city life.
Yeah. So I've been, and I will continue to be, pretty outspoken on a few things with A.J. Brown. One, they shouldn't have traded him. They're going to regret trading him. And the narrative around him has gotten so nauseating at times, like this idea that he was some issue in the locker room because he was mad about his contract. Not true. Ridiculous. However, like, there's an example of what? I mean, he was ass, so you have to keep that in mind, but still, like, come on, man. Like, lock in, focus. So is Nick Sirianni over there just running like a clown college? Like, come on, guys, just happy fun time today. You know, we don't need to worry about running any plays. And like, was A.J. Brown, like, actually restricted from showing his personality here by Vrabel? I didn't see that. I saw plenty of A.J. Brown's personality, which is a good personality, by the way. And actually, it's like both sides of the same thing to me. It's one of the things that drives me crazy. It's like a coach gets fired by a college football team. You know, man, Butch sucks, but Jeremy Pruitt is a ball coach. And then, you know, Jeremy Pruitt gets fired, and he sucks at Josh. Like, you always have to rip whoever just left, and then the new person is just amazing. And so it's like Titans fans with A.J. Brown on that front. Like, oh, A.J., like, let's make up some stuff. He was bad in the locker room, you know, yeah. Or now we have AJ talking about Vrabel didn't let him have fun or express himself. Like, both of you, you're broken up. You've moved on. Just stop it.
It just reminds me of that scene in Remember the Titans where Herman Boone, of course, played by Denzel Washington, approaches the team and he goes up to, I don't know the name of the character, but the act, whomever Donald Faison played in that movie, and Faison is laughing, and Herman Boone is like, "Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling?" And he's like, "Because football is fun." And then he's like, "It's fun, is it?" And at the end, he's like, "No fun, sir." So I just imagine
that exact conversation with Vrabel. And
Mike
AJ.
Vrabel is Denzel Washington in the situation, and AJ Brown is Donald Faison. No fun, sir. I can't imagine that's really the case. I mean, Mike.
That's
Vrabel
a nice pull right there, and it's Remember the Titans.
Yes, Mike Vrabel, of course, you know his public persona is one a very, very gruff, very focused person, and so you know perhaps you know you could get that sense that he is you know the fun police out there, but you know I have to imagine he's been he was a player, he knows how it goes. He's not, I'm sure he's a lot different behind the scenes as most athletes and coaches are. So I have a hard time believing that you know Mike Vrabel had these signs in the parts of the locker room you're not allowed to go in that says zero fun.
I mean,
no
look at Taylor
fun.
Lewan, like that guy's personality is not
Yeah, Vrabel went on his freaking podcast and talked about cutting off a part of his body that I won't mention on the air right now. So you're telling me that Vrabel, like, no personality here. I mean, it's kind of silly. So we can talk more about this if you'd like to join the discussion. Text line, phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And right now, Michelle has a word from Superbook.
Yes, we've been talking a lot about the Titans, Colts, and Indy this weekend. Tennessee is an underdog, +4, and I'm definitely going to lock down on that. Mike Vrabel looking to get his fourth straight win in Indianapolis. And Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. You don't have to be at a game to enjoy football this fall. Just download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start placing your bets now. Right now, Superbook has lines up for every pro football game for the rest of the season. If you want to get in on some futures action, which team will win the title, who is your MVP? I've been saying this since the start of the season, Lamar Jackson. And who will surprise in the SEC? Wager on all that and more right now at Superbook Sports. Along with football, Superbook also accepts wagers on every other major sport or start to get into the National Predators. So bring Vegas to the palm of your hands, and now Superbook will match 100% of your first bets up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. So get in on the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
It's Preds Game Day, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $1,000 of stuff, get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. Also, play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Also, I have more for you here that you can catch the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Monday at 6, live from 6 and Peabody. The Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex. Show Adam Bingen in for Robbie. Michelle Knezovic talking to A.J. Brown. As you may expect, there's quite a bit of reaction on the text line to A.J.'s comment there on I'm Mike Vrabel. Dennis says, aren't the traits AJ pointed out exactly how you want your coach to be? This is your job, all caps. You should be focused on working hard. AJ said it like that isn't the way it's supposed to be. I mean, that's kind of like what I'm beginning to. It's like, I mean, I need to watch a Nick Sirianni practice now, you know, like just to see the gallivanting that goes on that is pure, you know, I mean, they seem to be playing pretty well. Maybe that's the key. Maybe you don't need to actually like lock in and focus and practice. But in all seriousness, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Vrabel can be gruff. Well, I know Vrabel can be gruff. We all know Vrabel can be gruff, right? I mean, and tough on guys, I'm sure, and all that stuff. But it's interesting because it seemed like they had a good relationship, and it feels like almost just like a throwaway comment that just is so unnecessary. Someone on the text line said, unnamed says, respect AJ as a player, but he's acting like a high school girl who talks trash about an ex-boyfriend when they meant for each other, but is just trying to ruin his life because they broke up. Could be a high,
or
school,
a high school boy.
High school boy talking about his ex-girlfriend, right? Let's flip that around. Yes. Caleb says, I definitely agree with Rabel. It's all about business. For AJ to act like he lived under tyranny with Mike is ridiculous. He's becoming a diva. Terrell Owens trying to increase his popularity and brand. Let's launch diva as a word into the sun. I don't think that this, like, you think that this is like some strategy by AJ, like this is going to increase his brand, you know, increases in brand, go out and dominate on the football field, which he's doing, by the way, and things are going very well for him. He went on a show, he got asked a question. I think it's kind of silly.
Yeah, and it's easy to read into every single comment that someone makes and think of it as a thinly veiled shot at whomever. It does feel very high schoolish.
It's like a breakup.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what was the now infamous comment that Mike Vrabel made? Not as long as I'm the coach.
Not as long as I'm the coach. Which it doesn't sound like a guy who,
when they asked about AJ problem. Brown being traded, by the way,
exactly,
for that context.
Not sound like a guy who, one, didn't get along with him, or and obviously two, wanted him to go.
And then you had the NFL Network footage or the ESPN footage from the draft, right, after the trade had been made, with Rabel getting up from the table and looking displeased.
Like he'd been kicked in the face.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure, look, no one ever gets along with, you know, people don't always get along. Even if you're the best of friends, you're always going to have a bit of a tiff every now and then. So I'm sure Mike Vrabel and A.J. Brown had their tiffs every once in a while. But You know, Joe, as someone who was around that all the time, you know, I feel like if there was a significant disconnect between the two, it would have come out some way. Like, it wouldn't have been, you know, we're parsing everybody's comments and seeing what, you know, what's, you know, a shot at somebody else.
Yeah. John says, I like AJ, but dang, is he getting annoying? Again, it's like, again, a lot of the discussion around this is annoying, and a lot of it, to me, that's more annoying is the discussion about him from some Titans fans. But yeah, like, it's just now when you talk about disconnect, another former player who actually just looked pretty good the other night on television and is a good player, Adoree Jackson. You know, he talked about that. And I forget. I think it was somebody's podcast the offseason about, you know, not really connecting with variable. And I could see that, just because Adoree, I guess it's hard to explain Adoree. He's just a really interesting guy, you know? Just an interesting – he's not your, like, central casting football player. Like, it's not like – he doesn't live and eat and breathe football, that kind of guy, you know? So, like, I'm not surprised there may have been a disconnect between him and Vrabel, because, I mean, how many times does the phrase love ball get thrown around in that building?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you're good, you're good, and he is good. So – that's also worth noting. He's been pretty good for the Giants. The Titans could use a corner like that right now. But the AJ thing, I mean, I think it was a great situation here from everything that I saw and heard, as far as him, you know, in the locker room, him with the coaches, and we certainly saw AJ's personality here. I mean, without question. I mean, that's a great point by Michelle. It's like, if personality was restricted here, Taylor Lewan would have had duct tape on his mouth years ago, okay? I mean, so it's just –
Busting with the Boys would sound like All Things Considered on NPR if it were up to Mike Vrabel in his no-fun zone. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Well, did you see AJ in the game? I think it was this past Sunday, putting on the Batman cape?
I did not.
So he scored a touchdown and then put a Batman cape on. That, you know, I don't know if that would fly here.
They do end zone stuff here. I mean, I think Vrabel wasn't Vrabel still the coach when, like, I think so, like when Mariota did like the bowling ball thing and they all fell like pins. I mean, yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
I think it's just silly. Someone on the text says, everyone's roasting AJ, but he's getting the last laugh. Nobody's talking about the arrogance of Vrabel thinking they would be all right without him. Well, again, Adam just laid out what he said before the draft. Not as long as I'm the coach. How he reacted on camera right after the trade happened. And how angry he was when he was asked about it afterward, which to me said basically Vrabel was, you know, because sometimes the coaches are emotional after losses, and Vrabel is, certainly. That's what that presser was like. Was like Vrabel stewing after a loss and, you know, some misplaced anger. Now, you tell me where Vrabel – I mean, of course, after they trade him, what are you going to say? Yeah, you know, we believe in trailing and we're going to move on. And, you know, he had this stuff about, like, it's not about talent, it's about coaching. But that's his job is to coach up whoever he has here. So Vrabel can't sit here and keep lamenting that AJ's gone, but not at any point did Vrabel ever say, "Oh, we're going to be fine," or even suggest that they would want to not have AJ. He did the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, it was certainly not a situation where Vrabel was like, you know, good riddance, see ya, whatever, bye. Like it was.
I mean, you have to be somewhat dismissive of it because what are you going to do now?
Exactly. Let's mention that the Eagles, the last of the unbeatens now that the Miami Dolphins have lost, if I'm not mistaken. The only undefeated team left in the NFL.
And a lot of people are – it's kind of surprising to me, you know, the power rankings for whatever they're worth. But I see a lot of people out there putting the Eagles number one. They're good. I guess, you know, I watched a fair amount of, like, the win over the Lions – and they won, but
they crushed the Washington football team.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. But hey, now they have a real challenge Sunday. What's their third win? Yeah, so they beat Washington, Detroit. What's their third win?
Let's see.
For the Vikings. They did handle the Vikings pretty impressively. I mean, I was very impressed with their defense in that game. We'll see. We'll see though if they can deal with Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars.
That should be an interesting game. That might be one of those. Keep your eye on the scoreboard for that one.
I mean the Titans and Colts. Frankly, they need to be Titans. You need to be rooting for AJ Sunday.
Exactly. I'm just so saying, all like, of you, you AJ know? Haters on the text line, you're going to be rooting for AJ this week because you need him to ball out against the Jags, and you need the Titans to beat the Colts. Obviously, so you're all on the same team again, just for this week.
That's right. And you need to. I'm speaking to the public at large. Tune in for NFL pregame this Sunday live from Twin Peaks at 6134 Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. The NFL pregame is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. When we come back, it's time to call some shots on Robbie Rex at 102.5, 106.3 of the game. And it is that time, as we do every week at this time, time to call some shots. But first, I'm going to go ahead and tell you how we did last week. Let's see. I said Nick Westbrook-Ikhine will score a touchdown against the Raiders. He did not. He had a pretty good game, though. He had some big plays. I said the Vikings would beat the Lions with more than three touchdowns. They did not, but they did win.
The Lions covered the spread.
But did they win? They sure did. Yes, that's right. Tyler Barron scoop and score on a Byron Young strip sack of Anthony Richardson. That did not happen. Richardson had a pretty big game. And I had Vanderbilt's Brent Bresnahan with a touchdown at Alabama. They had none, so I know that didn't happen. Robbie, Vols will go deep on the first play for a Jalin Hyatt TD. That did not happen. Devontae Adams, 10-plus catches for 150-plus yards and two touchdowns against the Titans. That definitely didn't happen. He fit 36 yards. He did have one touchdown.
One TD.
But Titans did a really good job of taking them out of the game. Wake Forest will take down Clemson. Almost happened. Probably should have happened. Didn't happen. And then he said, and I don't have, I think he got this, but he said Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers will combine for less than 450 yards passing in the game. I mean, it was obviously a very low-scoring game. I mean, I need to check. I should have checked this. Let's see what we have. Brady had 271. So that means I'm sure Rodgers had more than 180, right? I'm grinding the show to a halt. Rodgers had 255. So sorry, Robbie. I like the shot, but he didn't have it. Michelle, see, I don't, I should have given you more crap for calling this shot because, like, this is like, this is almost like, you know, Hendon Hooker will have over 350 pass yards. He does that in his sleep.
Oh, yeah. You're just Stevie Joe.
But you,
you
got
know.
It. Well, I'm just telling you. You had.
No,
you,
I think he had right under it.
Oh, gosh.
I think it was like 349 or something.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's too bad. But I guess it makes the shot better, right? Since, yeah. UT 39, Florida 28. Pretty close. You're only 6 points off on UT at Florida. Or no, 38-33, so close. Anthony Richardson will throw four picks. He did not. In fact, did he throw a pick in that game? I don't think he did. No.
Don't think so.
Played well. A.J. Swan, two touchdown passes to Bama, as we've discussed. They had none as a team. And Amani Hooker with a pick six to win the game to beat the Raiders. So, hey, this is why we call shots, because you know, they're unlikely to happen. So, now, let's go first. Adam, how about the guest of honor? How about some called shots from you?
Okay, well, first, I would like to point out that the last time I sat in with you, which was about a month and a half ago, I called the shot after the Titans' first preseason game that Malik Willis would be the backup quarterback. And you said it was a...
I shamed you.
You shamed me. I just want to make sure I get credit for that. I called it after one preseason game, Malik Willis, number two quarterback on the Tennessee Titans.
Very good.
So I have two NFL-related called shots. We've touched on both games, obviously. We'll start with the local professional football team. Titans, Colts, Sunday. We talked about Derrick Henry. We talked about him going back to Indianapolis for the first time since he injured his foot. I'm going to say for the first time this season, Derrick Henry has more than 100 yards rushing against the Colts. I'm going to say he has at least 125.
The Titans' chances if you're right.
I'm going to say at least 125 on the ground for Derrick Henry against the Colts. And my other called shot, we just touched on it in the last segment, the Philadelphia Eagles, the only unbeaten team left in the NFL after the Miami Dolphins lost to the Cincinnati Bengals last night. They are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. I say that the Jaguars knock them from the realm of the unbeaten. The Jaguars defeat the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday.
Nick Sirianni might not be such a happy fun guy if that happens.
That's the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's quite a shot. Michelle?
Okay, so Adam and I are definitely on the same wavelength today. I have got the Jags upsetting the Eagles, they are going to beat them by at least a touchdown.
I mean, the Jags love on this show is just overboard.
I've also got Derrick Henry. I'm going a little bit higher. I'm going to say he's going to have a little bit bigger game than Adam said, 150 yards and two TDs.
I would really like the Titans' chance of that happening.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sticking with Tennessee, Rashad Weaver and Jeffrey Simmons combined for 5 sacks.
Whoa.
And then, of course, I have to sprinkle in a little college football at my alma mater. Big game.
No way.
Check my mental status tomorrow morning. First game back for their running back, Chris Rodriguez. I'm going to say he rushes for 85-plus yards and a TD.
Come on. You can't give the guy 100 yards?
No, Joe. It's his first. He hasn't played 4 games.
But you're calling a shot.
Fine. 105 yards.
There we go.
105 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I like it. He's a good player. That's big to get him back. That's a good game. I'm excited about that game. All
I'm
right.
not. I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, embrace being a top 10 team that everybody wants to beat now. Oh, boy. All right. NWI will have a touchdown catch. This is becoming my Firkser from last year. He'll have a touchdown catch in his hometown. By the way, that would be for the second straight year. So it's not like he hasn't done it before. Here's a shot that opposes your shots. Neither Derrick Henry nor Jonathan Taylor will reach 100 yards Sunday. They will both be held under, which I think is a good shot. I mean, we're talking about the two favorites to win the rushing title. So far, not unfolding that way. Danico Autry will pick off a Matt Ryan pass on a Jeff Simmons PBU at the line.
Specific.
Very specific. That's right.
Mm.
So if I get that shot, then, yeah, actually, it'd almost be scary. The Lions? They will lose at home to the Seattle Seahawks. Thank you very much.
Joe.
I'm going to try to throw shade at the Lions whenever I can throw shade at the Lions. On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, let's see. We've got a Kenny Pickett will play this Sunday. Tannehill will throw 3 picks. Woo. Viking Matt says, Oh, okay. And he had a take about the fact that Cousins is 2-10 on Monday night games. That's an early game, though, right? Aren't they in London?
Yes, it's 8:30 a.m. our time.
Nate's calling a shot. MTSU beats UTSA, which is a big game tonight, by the way. And by the way, Kevin Byard getting the jersey retired by 20. You know, MTSU crushing Miami, huge win, program moment. Out. That's a shot, though. That is a shot. UTSA is a good program. That is a shot. Ryan from Chicago, friend of the show.
Oh, gosh.
Called shot. Michelle will – I don't even know. All right, I guess I'll say it. Michelle will scratch NWI's Tesla in the parking garage.
No.
Did so you do that?
No,
I did it. I swear I did it.
They live with NWI now.
So. They're just making we live in the same complex.
You guys are stalking him to the point that you know the type of car he's driving. Man. Listen, I actually kind of feel bad. Should I have said that on the air, what kind of car he's driving? I mean, I didn't say his license plate number.
Yeah.
I won't say the color of the car.
Why don't you just give us his driver's license ID at this point? It should be said, you mentioned Kirk Cousins. We have a very important development here on the show. The Red Rifle, Andy Dalton himself, will be starting for the New Orleans. This is not a called shot. This is actually happening.
Yeah, this is true.
Andy Dalton is starting for the New Orleans Saints on Sunday in London against the Vikings Michael Thomas. It's going to be a great day in the Vingan household.
Yeah, that's not great. I got to say, though, I mean, it's probably worth a shot anyway, right? I know it's because Jameis Winston's hurt, but, like, boy, that offense is
Harlan
brutal.
Harlan Vingan has been calling for Jameis Winston to take a seat for, you know, since he threw away the game against the Buccaneers.
Maybe it's time to put the H back at quarterback.
Whenever Taysom Hill takes a direct snap from quarterback, he gets at least 10 yards every time. So I'm just saying.
He's a very good fullback. Dan from Clarksville says, call your shot. Hani Mukhtar will have a hat trick in the final regular season game, home game at Jodas Park Sunday night, which will ultimately clinch a home field playoff game for Nashville SC. Very good shot. A hat trick. That is definitely a shot. If you got more, you can keep coming on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. And right now, Michelle, you have a word.
Yes, I do, Joe. Speaking of some college football games this weekend, we have got the SEC Game of the Week. And you can join me tomorrow at the Lucky Duck Lounge in East Nashville at 2512 Gallatin Avenue for the SEC Game of the Week presented by BettingHero.com. And they're going to help you enjoy your experience betting on mobile, and they might even buy you a beer. The fun starts at 2:30 tomorrow. Come join me. We've got Alabama versus Arkansas.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.